I would say this is more than serious. It's devastating. At this point, literally everybody has been personally impacted with friends or family members who have passed away. You know, here, if someone gets critically ill in the current environment, they may not be able to receive the intensive care that they need. I just want to put that in perspective. Across many of the nations in southern or eastern parts of Africa, there are about somewhere between one and six intensive care unit beds for every million people. In contrast, in the US, there are about 300 ICU beds per million people. So we're hitting capacity more quickly, and most of the countries have run out of vaccines.
So what makes the third wave of COVID-19 different from the first two waves in Africa?
First, what makes the third wave different from the first is the presence of the Delta variant. The greater transmissibility and disease severity of the Delta variant is alarming, especially among a population where less than 1% of the people have been fully vaccinated. Another thing that makes this different is the scale of the third wave, the sheer number of cases that are being reported per day. In public health, we standardize the way we count and we look at the number of cases per 100,000 people. So if you were to look at a graph of the past 18 months for, say, Namibia, Zambia, Rwanda, DRC. You see a relatively flat line for the first 6 months, and then you see a small bump. That's the first wave. Then a little bit later, you see a slightly larger bump. That's the second wave. And then you see this massive spike, and that's this third wave, but it's not a wave anymore. And what makes this particularly scary, and the point that I want to make, is that that spike is still on an upward trend in many of these countries. In a meeting with WHO and the Ministry of Health in Namibia yesterday, the point that was made is that this is worse than the worst possible case scenario predicted 18 months ago. So basically, even the experts couldn't predict that it was going to get this bad. So we have a health disaster looming here, and it could have been avoided if the countries had received more vaccine doses sooner.
Project Hope warns that the vaccine gap between the high income and middle and low income countries and lack of vaccines across the continent highlights the gross inequality of access to public health interventions. How would that delay the return to pre-pandemic normal in the African continent?
First, the biggest gap is that we've run out of vaccines. And the only way to get ahead and stay ahead of this virus and its variants is through vaccination. So the continent must receive more vaccine doses now, not 2 or 3 months from now. Only around 1% of Africa's population has been fully vaccinated. Globally, out of 2.7 billion doses administered, less than 1.5% of those have been administered in Africa. Southern African nations are going in the opposite direction of pre-pandemic normal. Countries are going into strict lockdowns. Schools are closed. Restaurants are closed. Travel is restricted in country. Curfews are in place. It's hard to picture the African continent going back to pre-pandemic normal anytime soon. On the one hand, we have a hope that there will be lessons from every country to strengthen their health system and develop a stronger pandemic preparedness and response mechanism. We hope that there'll be changes for the better. On the other hand, we're seeing various health progress being reversed, such as access to primary health care. It will still take a few years for us to get back to a pre-pandemic normal there. Similarly, poverty resulting from food insecurity has been on the rise, and that's causing cases of malnutrition. This isn't going to change overnight, even when the virus does disappear.